What you're about to hear was aired on Planet Philadelphia, environmental radio show on Germantown Community Radio, 92.9 FM, WGGTLP in Philadelphia, and on gtownradio.com. Hi, this is Kay Wood with Planet Philadelphia. I'm here speaking with Reverend Dr. Jessica Moorman. She's a climate scientist and president and CEO of the Evangelical Environmental Network. Hi there. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Hi, Kay. It's wonderful to be on the program. Thank you.
Would you like to say a few words about yourself before we get into the topic of the interview?
Absolutely. Well, I am a climate scientist, but also a pastor and person of faith. And it was because of my faith that I became a climate scientist and really dedicated my life to the issue of climate action, environmental stewardship, and essentially ensuring that everyone has a healthy environment to thrive in. And so joining on with the Evangelical Environmental Network has been a perfect place to live out both of those callings, essentially showing how we can love our neighbor as people of faith and Christians by doing creation care and ensuring a safe climate.
The reason I contacted you was I saw that you had commented about the EPA's new proposal for a methane waste charge. This is for large sources of oil and gas and methane pollution. So I wanted to ask you why you thought this particular thing was so significant.
Yes. Well, reducing methane emissions is critical to the health of our communities and to ensuring that safe climate for everyone today, as well as future generations. Methane is a very potent greenhouse gas, especially over the short term. It's even more powerful than carbon dioxide. And so research shows that reducing methane emissions now, today, is one of the fastest ways that we can slow down global warming. And as I mentioned also, it's also very significant to our health. Methane leaks not only emit this powerful greenhouse gas, but also release hazardous air pollutants like cancer-causing benzenes, black carbon and soot, which is harmful to our health, as well as volatile organic compounds that can contribute to high ozone levels. And what medical research shows is that not only can these harmful air toxics that are released alongside methane, not only can they cause cancer, but also cause birth defects and lower birth weights amongst young children and newborns, have a significant impact also on marginalized communities and communities of color. And so addressing methane is so important for our health as well as the climate. What's important about the waste charge, the methane waste charge, is it provides a powerful new incentive for the oil and gas industry to clean up their act and plug these harmful leaks of methane.
The EPA issued a final rule in December that would sharply reduce emissions of methane from oil and gas operations. But this charge was something new. Now they're actually having a waste charge, and I don't believe that's ever been tried before. Do I have that right?
That's exactly right. So this is a new approach that is really complementary to EPA's methane rule. The methane rule released by EPA provides standards for what practices, equipment is allowed in oil and gas production. This includes limits on practices like venting and flaring of natural gas in production, which is one of the largest sources and contributors to methane waste. As well as giving guidance of switching out to the latest technology when it comes to pumps and controllers to make sure that those key sources of leaks, areas in the pipelines and the supply chain that are often prone to leaks, That rule and safeguard really instructs the oil and gas industry to adopt the latest technology, as well as to stop those harmful practices that are unnecessary, except in emergency situations. When it comes to the waste fee, this is really an outcomes-based approach, and something new that was provided this authority to the EPA by Congress just recently in the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. And it charged Congress with putting in place this fee-based structure that really targets the largest oil and gas producers. It came with it also funds for smaller oil and gas producers. There was a financial constraint for putting in place those latest technologies to reduce those emissions. It provided them with that. So it's another tool in the toolbox to reducing these very harmful emissions of methane and those hazardous air pollutants that come alongside with it. One other thing with the EPA rule is that it may not come into full effect for another 5 years, and this is without going through litigation in the courts. The methane fee has the opportunity to be put in place faster and begin to help us see those methane reductions that we need now.
Pennsylvania produces a lot of oil and gas. What sort of effect would these new fees have here?
Yeah, I see these fees as really encouraging all of our oil and gas production to be good stewards of these precious natural resources that we have. Right now, what's happening is by not capturing and plugging these methane leaks, we're not capturing this precious resource of gas that could be sent to market. So it's going to have a big economic benefit supporting our industry workers of getting more of this resource to market and supporting the economy that way. But what it really means for Pennsylvania, I see it as ensuring a brighter and healthier future. When we look at the health impacts of oil and gas production, over 1.4 million Pennsylvanians live within what's known as the health threat radius, or 1 mile of an oil and gas facility. And medical research shows that living in that proximity can put you at risk for adverse health effects. Again, exposure to that cancer-causing benzene, impact on birth defects. And when we look at those most vulnerable and at risk, we find that over 200,000 children in Pennsylvania live within that health threat radius, nearly 1,000 schools. That also includes over 170,000 people of color who are also in that threat radius. And so when I look at the possibility of what this means for Pennsylvania with this new methane fee, I see this as a brighter future for Pennsylvania, and especially for protecting those who are most vulnerable and most at risk of methane pollution.
Right now, the Supreme Court is hearing a case, something called the Chevron Doctrine, and that's a 40-year-old legal theory that helped federal agencies defend their rules on public health. I mean, no one knows what's going to happen, but quite a number of analysts have thought that this doctrine will be diminished, if not overturned outright. My question is, what are your thoughts on making these sorts of rules durable?
Yes, this we're paying very close attention to this ruling on the Chevron Doctrine, because anytime you're overturning 40 years of legal precedent, that can just make for a very uncertain landscape moving forward. This is why it's really important that these rules are carefully crafted. And I know that our civil servants at the EPA are paying a lot of attention to make sure that all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. But I think it also underscores how important this methane waste charge is. Again, it was authorized by Congress to EPA to do this in 2022 through the Inflation Reduction Act. And so it provided very clear guidance to EPA of how to structure this waste charge and this methane fee. And so if the worst were to happen with the EPA methane rule, the waste charge on methane represents a really important stopgap that has very clear authority from Congress that this is was its intent to put this type of structure and waste charge forward.
So, you are a scientist, a pastor, and an advocate. So, I'd like to ask you how you see these roles coming together, because often in the news we hear there's a conflict between religious communities and care for the earth or worries about climate change. So, could you address that?
Absolutely. Yes. For myself, all these things have come, are so intertwined. But you're right. Oftentimes we do hear this narrative that they're at odds. But at its heart, climate change and climate action, it is a moral issue. In my own journey, I had a heart for first, from my Christian faith, a call to serve people. And when I learned about climate change and how it impacts the most vulnerable first and worst, that's where it came together of how, one, I can honor God in my faith by caring well for his creation, but that also then means caring well for all God's children by ensuring that healthy climate and safe environment for them to thrive in. And what I'm seeing is so many people of faith, but especially Christians like myself, who are beginning to put those puzzle pieces in place, especially as we are seeing before our eyes our communities, lives, and livelihoods impacted by extreme weather, extreme heat, and an unsafe climate. And that's what we at the Evangelical Environmental Network exist to do, is help our fellow Christians put those puzzle pieces together to show how we can live out our faith and calling to honor God and love our neighbor as ourself by taking up faithful climate action.
Do you have suggestions for what the average person can do?
Yes, I often get asked this, and always share with folks what I heard Dr. Catherine Hayhoe say, who is a fellow climate scientist and evangelical Christian, that the best thing that we can do to fight climate change is to simply talk about it. And whether that's talking about it with your family and friends or engaging in the civic space, contacting your elected officials, your representatives in your state, or in Congress, to let them know why you care about this, why it's important to you, and why we need to see meaningful action now. And so just getting the word out, I think, is it's surprisingly simple and easy. And that's what we're here at EEN to make it as easy as possible. But then also, there's so many things that we can do tangibly in our own homes and lifestyles. There is a whole, what I think of as a menu or buffet of different climate actions you can take. And I just encourage folks to figure out which one gives them joy, which one they feel motivated to do that they can fit into their lifestyle, and start there. Whether that's composting, looking at upgrading different appliances and equipment in your own home, which I have to say, it's never been easier, especially with all of the new rebates and tax credits that have come through the Inflation Reduction Act.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, just thank you so much for lifting up this important issue of methane and all of the new tools and ways that we can reduce these methane emissions. But even with finalized rules like the EPA methane rule, the work doesn't stop here. We have really important work to do of getting it implemented in the state, work at the State House in Pennsylvania to do. And so just encourage all your listeners to lift up their voice also if this is an important matter to them, climate, methane, health, just to continue to lift up their voice of why this matters to them.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
If you want to know more about Planet Philadelphia, go to planetphiladelphia.com. You could also find out more about other G-Town Radio programming by going to gtownradio.com. I hope you will consider making a small monthly donation to help Planet Philadelphia continue presenting interviews on important underreported environmental topics and exploring their complexities and intersections. Thank you so much for your support.